A young French aristocrat arrived on American shores in 1831, officially to study prisons, but secretly pursuing a more ambitious quest, to understand democracy itself by examining the First Nation, where it had fully blossomed. Alexis de Tocqueville's resulting work, Democracy in America, continues to illuminate our political landscape nearly two centuries later, read by presidents, justices, and tech moguls alike. Why? Because Tocqueville saw with remarkable clarity both democracy's promise and its perils. A great democratic revolution is taking place among us, he observed, not merely a political shift but a fundamental transformation in human relations. Democracy meant more than voting rights. It signified the gradual leveling of social conditions, the dismantling of hereditary privileges, and equality's rise as society's organizing principle. What made America unique was that democracy had developed organically, without the violent upheavals that characterized Europe's democratic transitions. Americans were born equal instead of becoming so. Tocqueville's genius lay in recognizing this democratic revolution as inevitable. Unlike philosophers debating democracy's desirability, he accepted its inevitability and focused on making it function well. The question wasn't whether to embrace democracy but how to shape it. Would it lead to freedom and prosperity, or new forms of tyranny? What struck Tocqueville about American democracy was its decentralization. Unlike France, where power emanated from Paris, American democracy began locally, in the New England township. These communities functioned as primary schools of freedom, where citizens learned self-government through direct participation. Township residents gathered to debate issues, elect officials, and make decisions affecting their community. They wielded genuine authority over taxation, education, roads, and public welfare, fostering what Tocqueville called the spirit of the township, a deep attachment to self-government. Power was widely distributed through numerous elected offices. A typical New England township had 19 principal positions filled annually, from selectmen executing laws to school commissioners. This meant a significant portion of citizens held public responsibilities. This decentralized approach sacrificed some administrative efficiency but gained something more valuable: civic engagement. Americans might execute public functions less perfectly than a centralized government, but accomplished infinitely more things because citizens took initiative rather than waiting for the state to act. Despite his admiration for American democracy, Tocqueville identified a profound danger: the potential tyranny of the majority. Without proper restraints, the majority's power could become as oppressive as any monarch's. I know of no country where there is generally less independence of mind and true freedom of discussion than in America, Tocqueville wrote. The problem wasn't legal restrictions, but social pressure. Dissenters found themselves not just outvoted, but ostracized. This tyranny operated through public opinion, which exerts an immense pressure on the minds of all. Politicians feared defying majority sentiment, while intellectual innovation suffered as thinkers avoided challenging conventional wisdom. The press often reinforced rather than challenged majority views. With the majority controlling all government branches, minorities had no institutional protection. Omnipotence in itself is a bad and dangerous thing, Tocqueville warned. Liberty is endangered when this power finds no obstacle which can retard its course. If majority tyranny was democracy's greatest danger, what prevented American democracy from succumbing to it? Tocqueville identified several counterbalancing forces that protected individual liberty. America's federal structure divided sovereignty between national and state governments, preventing power concentration. The independent judiciary, particularly the Supreme Court, provided a check by striking down unconstitutional laws, parrying public opinion's blows rather than directly opposing it. The legal profession served as America's aristocratic element, a conservative class acting as a hidden brake on democratic passions. The jury system involved citizens in justice, teaching responsibility while upholding legal principles. Religion provided moral boundaries that pure democracy lacked. While democratic principles encouraged questioning authority, religion reminded citizens of moral truths beyond human choice. Liberty regards religion as its companion in all its battles and triumphs, Tocqueville wrote, as the cradle of its infancy and the divine source of its rights. American religion succeeded because it remained separate from government, allowing religious institutions to exercise moral authority without partisan entanglement, creating independent voices that could speak truth to power, even majority power. Tocqueville identified Americans' remarkable tendency to form voluntary associations for commercial, moral, religious, and political purposes as a vital democratic strength. In aristocracies, wealthy individuals could accomplish great things alone. In democracies, however, relatively equal individuals need cooperation for significant undertakings. This creates a dilemma. As people become more equal, they need association more, yet find it harder to achieve without natural hierarchies. Americans had mastered what Tocqueville called the art of association, the ability to unite voluntarily for common purposes. They formed associations for building hospitals, establishing schools, and other endeavors that address social needs without expanding state power. Newspapers facilitated this associational life by connecting like-minded citizens. A newspaper is an advisor that does not require to be sought, but that comes of its own accord, Tocqueville observed. By informing citizens about shared concerns, newspapers enabled the associations that sustain democratic society. How could a society founded on equality and individual rights maintain social cohesion? Tocqueville found the answer in self-interest well understood, the American doctrine that serving the common good ultimately serves one's own interests. Unlike European moralists who emphasized noble self-sacrifice, Americans channeled self-interest toward social ends. They show with such skill the agreement of personal interest with the public interest, Tocqueville wrote, that it becomes difficult to distinguish between them. This doctrine lacked aristocratic virtue's grandeur, but created something perhaps more valuable, consistent, moderate virtue accessible to ordinary citizens. Religion reinforced this practical morality by emphasizing how faith produced tangible benefits, stable families, honest commerce, and orderly communities. This pragmatic approach aligned with democracy's preference for practical results over abstract principles. What emerged was a society where virtue grew from mutual advantage rather than self-denial. What one might call enlightened love of themselves constantly leads them to help one another. Tocqueville observed, creating a moral foundation that, while not heroic, proved remarkably durable. Tocqueville viewed democracy's global spread as inevitable, but questioned what form it would take. Democracy faced two paths: freedom through active citizen participation, or a soft despotism, a mild bureaucratic control that would degrade men without tormenting them, reducing citizens to a flock of timid and industrious animals, of which the government is the shepherd. This despotism emerges through individualism, citizens retreating from public affairs into private concerns. As people focus on personal well-being, they surrender political responsibilities to central authorities, making the state more powerful while individuals become isolated. To preserve liberty, democratic societies need secondary powers, institutions between the individual and the state, and must cultivate the taste for freedom alongside the natural taste for equality. Democracy contains seeds of both freedom and despotism, which flourishes depends on human choice, our willingness to embrace self-government rather than surrendering responsibilities for comfort. Tocqueville's question remains urgent: will we use our equality to build freedom or justify servitude?